You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, October 13, 2019, by the Reverend Sarah Butler Ganolfi, Senior Associate Priest at St. Thomas.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
How can I sing a song of praise in a strange land? We didn't read Psalm 137 today, but that message sets the tone for today's letter to the exiles declared by the prophet Jeremiah. In exile, God's people wail and long for the good old days, so to speak. They have trouble seeing beyond their current situation, their loss of freedom and their way of life. Their hearts become hardened like cement, and they moan to God in agony how they just can't go on. You know, in some ways, during this renovation, we too are in an exile of sorts. My own experience of the renovation came just as I was starting to feel comfortable with everything over in the church. So much of what I do is written into the bones of my body that throughout this whole renovation, I found myself stumbling around. Just last week, when I was leading the 8 a.m. service, I realized halfway through the hymn that I'd forgotten to grab the microphone. So I look over at the microphone stand that I usually get, and I realize the stand isn't there. So I make a mental note, okay, during the announcements, I've got to go find a stand, get the microphone, and then I need to make another mental note to remind our wonderful, wonderful new sextons to put out 2 microphone stands. And by that time, the hymn is almost over, and I've got to quickly reel the Holy Spirit back into my heart, because all distraction has made me completely unfocused and unready to be this poised and wise person that I think I want to be. It's like change happens and whoosh, Holy Spirit, bye. That's how one of my chapel instructors used to instruct us, that when mistakes happen, the Holy Spirit just goes away. That's a little harsh for me. And I think mistakes are this wonderful, joy-filled opportunity for us to be fully human. And you'll notice that I make mistakes frequently. And it's a good thing, because that's just life and that's reality. And don't get me wrong about all the renovation stuff. I am so, so excited for this refreshing of our building. And I trust and celebrate the work being done in this place. It's going to be beautiful, I know, but more importantly, the space will help draw us closer to one another and closer to God. Literally, we're breaking down walls in order to become closer to one another. But right now, as we all do, I honor and acknowledge my own sense of displacement, as I know some of you have felt during this time in exile. How can we sing songs to God when we feel off? You know, despite all of this and everything else, it's times like these that I am reminded, above all, that I am at home in God. And that God really is with me, with all of us, especially when we're feeling lost and displaced. This kind of spiritual home is less of a place we can touch and feel and see, and more of a heart place that fuels our action. Recall today's gospel reading. The only one who praises God after healing is the Samaritan, the foreigner. And God only knows why the others ran off. You know, perhaps they thought that they didn't need God's blessing in the end. Perhaps they'd forgotten the joy of this community that they had in God. But it's the foreigner that reveals to us how becoming a part of God's family transcends so many boundaries. Have you ever noticed how heightened your senses get when we travel to an unfamiliar place? This Episcopal Church taught me the importance of pilgrimage in my spiritual practice. Similar but different to a mission trip, a pilgrimage is a relationship-building spiritual practice that helps us come closer to what it means to be a part of God's family, not just our nuclear family. A journey that breaks down the walls we build for our own protection and widens our hearts to see that everything belongs. Screams and all. I recall even, no, please, please, it's all fine. Stay. Stay. It makes my sermon all the better. Welcome. Let's give it up. We've got a new baby in the family. It is a joy. It is a joy. It is a joy. And it helps us remember that God's family comes in all shapes and sizes and ages. So we're so glad you're here. I also recall starting my term of AmeriCorps in Alaska. And as excited as I was for the adventure, I was also full of anticipation and anxiety about what the next year would behold. There I was, getting ready to catapult off this giant cliff with a hope and a prayer that someone or something would catch me along the way. And St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Anchorage was one such net that caught me along that way. And I sought out this place because of the vast number of examples I'd had at St. John's in Lancaster, where I became an Episcopalian, St. George's in Hempstead, Long Island, where I began college, and St. Luke's in Mechanicsburg, where I finished, and then on to St. James in the Bronx, St. Stephen's Cathedral in Harrisburg, who sponsored me for ordination, and the genealogy of my life in the Episcopal Church could go on and on. It was midway through this journey that I finally filled out my first pledge card. I wish that I had learned to do this when I was younger so it wouldn't become so horrifying the first time I actually had money, only to see it all just slipping away because I was working in New York. And if you've ever worked in New York, you know that just 50% of your income goes off into the tax netherverse, and you never see it. It's gone. But there I was, and with trepidation, I filled out my first pledge card. It was for $200, which to me at the time felt like the most money. Because I was learning how to budget, I was probably budgeting like $25 a week for food. At the time, I was eating vegan, so that was a stretch, because soy anything cost five times more than dairy anything. It was so overwhelming, but I wanted to give back to this community that had given back so much to me. I wanted to be a part of that net, that web that had caught me, so it could help catch someone else. And it was a church in the Bronx that I knew was really struggling. It was one of those huge, vast buildings that at the time had maybe 40 people showing up on a Sunday. I think it's doing a lot better now, but at the time I wanted to be a part of their hope for the future. You know, I was the one in exile at times. And we can all find ourselves in moments of exile when facing change or transition or turmoil or illness. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God reminds us how important it is to keep up with our daily labors, our prayers and relationships. This goes far beyond just keeping busy for the sake of keeping busy. Our movements become an act of fearless hope for, in, and through the days to come. You know, whether St. Thomas is our forever home or a stop along our spiritual way, in this place, we say our prayers. We celebrate our blessings and thanksgivings, and we come to this table every week to be fed. And in times of great joy, as well as scarcity, we set aside a portion of our resources to help expand the net of God's love in ways that we can't even imagine. We place trust in a world that isn't yet, but the world that is to come. We let go, just as our parents let go of us when we were baptized. We let go and trust in the promise of the church. We trust that it can and will flourish. And we add to it in any way we can, whether if it's just a little bit or if it's a lot. Not because we know what is coming, but because we trust the mystery right at our fingertips. Because it's, at the end of the day, to thine be the glory. Not to me or to what I want things to be, but to God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.